Happy to be back together once again. God bless you. Praise the Lord. I'm going to do a little more cutting here tonight. Hallelujah. Appreciate all the feedback we've gotten this week. It just been a special time for so many of us, and we're in great anticipation of whatever else the Lord has for us. I guarantee you, what he has for us is greater than anything the world could come up with. At the Border, Part 5. Joshua chapter 5, starting at the first verse. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of the Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until they were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, even at the plains, in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And again from Ephesians chapter 1 in the 10th verse. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand before you again this evening, Lord, we're just thankful for the opportunity. We thank you for the air that we're breathing. We thank you, Lord, for the clothes on our backs, the food in our bellies, the means to come and to worship you, the furnishings, the building, just all that you've given us. Now, Lord, we want to give everything back to you, Lord. Everything that you've given us, we want to put it back into your hands and ask you, Lord, to use it for your honor and glory. We ask that you'd speak to each and every heart, Lord, those that are present here and those that are listening in tonight, Lord. We know that this sickness is still sweeping through the land, and we just ask that your healing virtue would touch those that are sick, Lord, and that you'd keep us safe. And Lord, and may this pass soon, and may we pass over to the other side. We give you all praise and honor and glory, Lord. We just ask that your blessings be upon each and every one now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So where we finished on Sunday night, we read a quote about God changing his mask, and we want to pick up on that thought again here this evening, knowing that God has changed his mask. He's always been with his creation, but he's changed the way that He's manifested himself amongst his people throughout the ages, and he's wearing a different mask tonight. He's wearing the mask of his bride body in this hour. Now, we know that God revealed himself in part through the prophets in the Old Testament. In other words, he showed a part of him in Moses. He showed a part of him in Joseph, a part of him in Isaac, and a part in Jacob, and so on and so forth, never showing the fullness in any one of them, but showing a portion. And God revealed himself through the prophets in the Old Testament, and then Jesus Christ was the fullness of all that was revealed about himself throughout the Old Testament. When he became flesh, he was all the parts that had been previously expressed throughout the Old Testament. So when he came on the scene and was filled with the fullness, he did not do away with what was done in part. But he became the full manifestation of what he had been doing previously in parts. In other words, there was nothing wrong with any of those parts. It's just that he was the fullness. He was all of the parts manifested in one body. And we see that it was in Christ that the parts are revealed once again throughout the seven church ages. But in our day, he's no longer revealing himself in part. This is a different kind of a time. He's no longer revealing himself in part, but in his fullness. In a body of flesh, a many-membered body. And many are missing his appearing in this hour. We're all looking, all the Christianity is looking for the meeting in the air, but they miss the fact that there's a meeting here before there's a meeting there. And so what we want you to see is that you are one of many vessels that he's pouring his spirit out into in this hour so that he can manifest himself in fullness once again in this age. His final form is a multi-membered bride body, which he calls his bride. The Word of God encapsulated in a body. The Word of God having preeminence in a body. Are you with me? Okay, just shake yourself and we'll get into gear here in just a moment. The message from the message, the unveiling of God, he said, he did it in the reformers, taken on a veil, until finally it come down through the Lutheran age, down through the other age, then finally it comes out into the complete. Just before it comes, a prophet arises again. What it does, it foreshadows the word, showing back here, revealing what's been done, what's been left off, that the church will be without, not without understanding. Then when this fades out, then like John said, I must decrease, he must increase, then all in all comes into him. He is manifested through Luther, Wesley, and Pentecostal age, and on down and on down. He is fully manifested, you see, come down, just the manifestation, God unfolding. So we understand that the prophet foreshadowed the complete, but he himself was not the complete.
Right.
And we also know that the Son of Man was revealed through him.
Right.
And now the Son of Man has moved into a many-membered bride body and is continuing to reveal himself, continuing to manifest himself. And this is the last body that he reveals himself through on the earth to the Gentiles.
Right.
The next body that we will see him in is his glorified body.
Right.
Again, in spoken word is the original seed. Brother Bram says, my mission, I believe, to the earth is what? Is to forerun the coming word.
Right.
The coming word, which is Christ.
Right.
My mission, I believe, to the earth is what? Is to forerun the coming word, see, the coming word, which is Christ.
Right.
So the fullness of the Godhead, once again, in a body of flesh. So the word going from thought to word to manifestation in physical form on the earth, the bridegroom now hidden and revealed in his bride, who is also... So friends, here's where people kind of get a little lopsided one side or the other. They say, she is him. Well, in a way. But she's there too. There's a she and there's a he. So the bridegroom is now hidden and revealed in the bride body. But the bride is also in that very same body. And she is also being revealed. Again, in questions and answers, we're just laying a little foundation here, and then we're going to blast off in just a moment. In questions and answers, he says, we became a part of his word, part of his life, for we are flesh of his flesh, and bone of his bone, and life of his life. Then we can no more perish than God himself could perish. Then we can no more perish than God himself can perish. How could you perish if you're part of him? Oh, friends, this just completely gets away from the idea of I'm saved today, I'm lost the next day, I'm up and down and in and out, and I could lose it. If you're born again of his spirit, you are part of him and he's part of you. Again, he says, in the spoken word as the original seed, he says, in our mistakes, don't say, well, I made a failure. He says, no, that don't. He says, Abraham made failures too, see? But he couldn't take the church. He can't kill the elected. Speaking about the devil. The devil can't take the church. He can't kill the elected. He can't take your life. Because you are part of himself. You're the word. The word is in you. It's manifested itself. Proven itself. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. All the words of God. You believe every one of them working. God working through you, see. You're part of the word, which is Christ. And we are taught that he is the word. And we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. He says, there you are now. We're coming down to something. Oh, my friends. When he's preaching these things, this is at the very end of his ministry. This is, 3 years before he's taken off the scene and later. And he's really getting to the greatest part of the message. The word is coming forth. We're hearing things that... in a way that we hadn't heard before, and the people are hearing it and they're catching it at some level, I suppose, but it wasn't to be caught in its fullness at that time. Right. And we've been feeding on this and growing and maturing, and these things are now taking on form. They're taking on a reality. They've gone from being quotes that have been quoted over and over and over again to starting to manifest, starting to take on form, starting to prove, actually starting to interpret what it is by coming to pass. Again, he says, now, oh man, here we are. Blessed be the Lord. Now we come to the body to be the bride of Christ. Now, to be his flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, he says, now we'll hurry up now. Flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. He says, let me ask you a question. Why didn't all your reigns back yonder bring the bride to Christ? So he was speaking about the latter rain movement and all the different, during the Pentecostal period of time when there was all these different types of movements and you had the latter rain. They said, we've got everything. And he says, why didn't your reins back yonder bring the bride to Christ? He says, I want you to answer me that. Oh, sure, there was an anointing. Sure, there was a restoration of the gifts. Sure, there was prophecy and tongues and all that. And nothing against that. Those things were supposed to happen. Those things were supposed to be there. He says, If it's oncoming, it's overdue. We believe it. Like it was in the days of Noah, long-suffering, he's getting his bride ready. Why didn't these rains? Why didn't you Pentecostals back yonder a few years ago when you started 40 or 50 years ago? Why didn't you bring Christ, the bridegroom, to the bride? Because they couldn't. I'm going to let that soak a minute. Why? Because you pregnated her yourself with your denomination. Oh, my friends, this is something that we have to watch out for clear to the very end. You say, oh, bless God, we're in the message. We don't have to worry about that. Oh, people denominate. And every move of God denominates. Every move of God produces twins. So we want to be careful not to inject our own thoughts in there, not to inject our own ideas. And when we run into those, we need to be ready to cut them off. They're not our friends. It's not personal. I don't care who's embracing it, who isn't embracing it. It's something that when the thoughts of man are brought in instead of the thoughts of God, you kill it. There's no life. And it will not produce what God said that it would produce. He says, because you pregnated her yourself with your denomination. That's exactly what you done. He won't marry a whore. He will marry a virgin. It's flat, but that's the truth. You know it in a flat way. You don't have to wonder. I don't stumble around about it. Tell you the truth. He says, why didn't you bring her? Why didn't you bring the bride of Christ on the scene? Why didn't you bring her? Why didn't you bring Christ, being Christ to her? Because she's not fit. He found her in adultery, exactly the reason children don't live forever when they're born. Adam found his wife pregnant. When he got to his wife, she'd already received another seed. He says, that's the reason Jehovah had to take a Gentile bride, found her pregnant, the Hebrew bride, found her pregnant. That's exactly the way Christ has to get him a bride now. He's going... He's found this so-called group pregnated. He's going to sow his seed. Somebody's going to get it because they're predestinated to be a church at the end of the road. So somebody is going to receive this seed in the evening time. And it's Christ the Word himself. That's what brings Christ back to the earth, is somebody receiving this seed. Somebody believing the Word. Somebody receiving the fullness of the Word and not a denomination or not the ideas of man or the systems of man, but the actual Christ himself, the living Word. Again, he says, as the end time prophecies will repeat, I believe, as the first forerunner came from the wilderness and cried, behold the Lamb of God. We know he's speaking of John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God. The second forerunner will probably do the same by pointing the people to a word-born bride. I think I need to read that again. Yeah. As the end time prophecies will repeat, I believe, as the first forerunner came from the wilderness and cried, behold the Lamb of God, the second forerunner will probably do the same by pointing the people to a word-born bride. So he's introducing Christ in bride form. He's forerunning Christ in bride form. Let me say that again. He's forerunning Christ in bride form. Oh, that's too much. Oh, no, that couldn't be him. It is him. It's Christ in bride form. It's Christ in bride form. It's the very same one. Friends, if the spirit of Elijah came upon a man to introduce Christ 2,000 years ago, the fullness in a body, and if that ministry is to repeat, if that type is there, which it is, then someone would have to come again in the end time with the spirit of Elijah, and he would have to be able to identify Christ amongst us again in a body on the earth. And he would forerun that coming. And we want to make it all about the prophet. That would be like making it all about John the Baptist. Oh, friends, he was the greatest man born in shoe leather up until that time. Right? But the one that he was introducing, he said, I got to decrease so that he can increase. He said, I'm not even worthy to loosen the latchet of your shoe. Right? Praise the name of the Lord. Now, the thing that maybe rubs you a little bit the wrong way is that maybe it sounds like we're making the bride greater than the prophet, but what we need to recognize here is that the prophet was introducing the bride, Jesus Christ in bride form, but he also happens to be part of that bride. So his whole ministry was to introduce Christ. And friends, I still, to this day, I haven't found a ministry anywhere that emphasized Christ to the level that he did. Every message, every service, every time you'd hear him minister, you hear him talking to him and apologizing for his mistakes and telling him how much he loves him and how much he wants to serve him and mentioning his failures, but wanting to get you... wanting to get you to that Christ, to the Christ of all the ages. And then in the very end, when his ministry is rejected, when people are leaving, they're leaving at the time when he's actually introducing Christ in bride form. Hallelujah. So his whole ministry was to introduce Christ, but what form is he in when he introduces him? Is it the meeting in the air? Is that where we're introduced to Christ? Friends, we didn't even know. Think about it. We didn't even know who the real Jesus was. You say, oh, I did. But you couldn't. You had to be introduced. We didn't know. We had a Baptist version, a Methodist version, a Pentecostal version, a Catholic version, a this version, a that version, another version. Paul preached one version. Paul preached the Christ of all the ages. It took a prophet to preach the Christ of all the ages. It took a prophet again in this hour to say, look, here's the real one. I'm going to preach to you the Christ of the Bible. And then he's going to prove that that's who he is. He's going to vindicate his word. It's going to go beyond, oh, this is just something that you're thinking, Brother Branham, or there's some other kind of movement or some other kind of tantrum that somebody's going off of. No, he proves himself to such a point. I mean, that's what got a hold of us, is Christ. And that's what causes us to love our prophet, because we see all the sacrifices that he made. We see the choices that he made. We see the price that he had to pay in order to introduce us to the Christ of the Bible. Amen. Paid a great price, but it was worth it. And he knew that it was worth it. But the denominations cannot introduce you to him. The latter rain movement cannot introduce you to him. Brother Branham said, why didn't all of these isms, why didn't all of these rains, why didn't one of them introduce you to the Christ of all the ages? Because they couldn't. They'd taken a seed of something else. As Brother Branham called it, a seed of discrepancy. So, if you can receive it tonight, this prophet actually foreran her coming. Brother Henry, who was here first, him or you? Come on, it's easy. Who was here first, him or you? Why? Well, because he's forerunning you. How could you be here and then him come? No, he came and then you came. And you came to the recognition of who and what you are. In fact, you were washed by the prophet in the water. Washed by the water of the word. Amen. Washed, the unbelief of all the ages was washed off. And you were presented. If the first one presented Christ to the world, what about this forerunner? He describes what she looks like. He describes her character. He describes what she'll do and what she'll say and how she'll act. He introduces us to the bride of Jesus Christ, revealing the mystery of the bride. But it's Christ in a bride body. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he foreran her coming. Is that right? John's message was there's a greater one that's going to come. And John was a mighty prophet. The scripture, Jesus said there was no man born of a woman up until that time greater than him. But he was forerunning someone greater. Hallelujah. So John's message was there is someone coming who's greater. And he came first and revealed himself through the prophet. Actually to the prophet and then through the prophet. We hear and see instances throughout the message where you can say, oh, that's Christ. That's Christ. Christ is revealing himself through this prophet. No one could do these things. That's the sign of the Messiah. Right? And Brother Branham would say, now, I don't even know what I just said, but whatever was said, just do that. Yeah. Well, who was that? Right. That was Christ. Yeah. It wasn't Brother Branham. It was Christ. But Brother Branham was there. Yeah. And it was showing us a pattern. It was showing us something to help us. Right. When he began to show us Christ in you. The hope of glory, where you can recognize that there's Christ and there's you too. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he came, revealed himself in a prophet. The Son of Man was revealed through a Son of Man. A Son of Man is a prophet. But the Son of Man, there's only one the Son of Man, and that's Christ. He revealed himself through a Son of Man. Luke 17:30. But then he came in word form to a prophet. So the word is here, but it must become flesh. He came in word form. The theophanic Christ. That's Revelation 10. 1. That's the angel descending from heaven. He's coming in word form. Not physically. But he's coming in word. He is the word. And he's coming in word form to a prophet. And so the prophet, the word came to the prophet.
Right.
Amen. But it must become flesh.
Sure.
It must take on flesh. And the flesh that it's taking on in this hour is a bride body. A body that he has preeminence in, a body that he takes control of, and a body that he takes her back to him into a meeting in the air and into an Eden. Hallelujah. An Eden that's greater than that first Eden. So the reproach of Egypt has brought with it the thoughts such as, we're beyond Pentecost. So there's no more miracles. There's no more gifted people. That's a lie.
That's right.
There's no more divine healing. Mercy. How could we ever come up with a thought like that? How are we going to have a body change? See, you've had healing in your soul already, right? Now you're waiting for healing of your body. How is your body going to be healed completely if it can't be healed in part?
Amen.
Never mind that there's been healing all the way through the scriptures, Old Testament and New. So a reproach of Egypt has been brought again amongst us, and it's done through taking words of the prophet and misinterpreting them and misapplying them to the people. You can come up with whatever doctrine that you want just about by taking quotes. I mean, that's where doctrines come from. But the quotes have to dovetail with one another. They can't contradict one another. And they have to dovetail with the scriptures in order to be properly placed. If they don't dovetail, you put it together wrong. You have the wrong interpretation. You have the wrong understanding. You haven't caught the revelation. And we know that we don't catch the revelation of everything right away. But we have enough sense to leave it alone.
Right.
Knowing that the one that has brought us this far will take us the rest of the way. Again, this is from the message, The Invisible Union. He says, the word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work this day. See, I'm giving you an example of a quote that's misapplied. The word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work this day. No, sir. That was for Pentecost. This is for the bride, going home of the bride. We got something different. The Pentecostals represented that again. We're in a bride age. No more the word of Noah would work in the days of Moses. No more than Moses' law would have worked in the time of Paul here. He tried to tell them, you are dead to that and you cannot have that. But in the friends, in the first church, they were still keepers of the law. They kept the Sabbath. You know how they kept the Sabbath? By having the Holy Ghost. That was the fulfillment of keeping the Sabbath. That was entering into that rest. So they were still keeping the law. They kept the sacrifice. How did they do that? By taking communion and by acknowledging their sacrifice, doing this in remembrance of Him. They kept all the prior word, but in a greater way. Not in a shadow form, but in the reality form. In a greater way, they actually became the fulfillment of the law as Christ lived the law through them. Christ didn't do away with the law. He fulfilled the law. The bride doesn't do away with anything either. She's the fulfillment of it. So it was a greater expression of the law than what they had before. As we've mentioned before, the law was showing you, it was foreshadowing what a Christian life would look like, how they would conduct themselves when the Holy Spirit came down, changed the inside of the inside, wrote His commandments upon your heart. The law showed you what they would look like. You wouldn't lie, you wouldn't cheat, you wouldn't steal, you'd honor your father and mother, you'd keep the Sabbath, you wouldn't covet your neighbor's property or wife, you'd obey your father and mother. These are things that you just do because you're born again of the Spirit of God. So you're not keeping the law out of, okay, the law says this, so I better do that. You're fulfilling it. You are the fulfillment of it. So, what did Brother Branham mean by what he said in the quote that we just read? What did he mean? He certainly wasn't speaking those words to bring us back into bondage again. Do we rip out of our Bibles Acts chapter 2? No, still part of our Bible. What is it that sets us apart then? Are we still to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Yes. Of course. Does it still come the same way? This isn't a hard question. Is the apostolic age now over with? Do we forbid the things now that were restored back to the church?
Absolutely.
Is there no more divine healing? Is there an atmosphere anywhere that a soul can get saved? What does it mean we got something different? I'm so glad you asked. First of all, we do have something different than what the church had during the Pentecostal revival portion of our age.
Right.
What they had was the restoration of the gifts.
Yes.
What they had was tongues and interpretation and prophecy. What they had was the Spirit coming back,
right,
anointing the people with other tongues, and will I speak to my people? Old men will dream dreams, young men will see visions, or the other way around, whatever.
Right?
So we still have that, but that's not our message today. That's what he's saying. He's saying that won't work today. He's not saying do away with it. He's saying that if that's where, if you're saying this is what's important right now, the restoration of the gifts, you know. If you're not speaking in tongues, you're out, you know. If you're not, you know, singing in the Spirit, you're out. This is the theme, and we'll just focus on that, and, you know, teach and on the gifts and all that. That's not our message right now. Our message is greater, but it includes that. He wasn't calling it a bad thing. He wasn't throwing it away. He was saying, friends, just like in the days of Luther, who was a reformer, what was being brought back to the church was the just shall live by faith. Is that still true?
Yes.
Absolutely. Do we believe it?
Yes,
but that's not the word that's being lived out right now. It's a portion of it. So we do have something different than what the church had during the Pentecostal revival portion of our age. The day of Pentecost was the deposit, the down payment, the earnest, coming to a body. What do we have tonight that's different from Acts chapter 2? Well, read the book of Revelations and you'll see what it is. We have something more than that. But we have that. We have the voices of thunders that were held back until the end time. So now we have more. They're written in the Bible, but they weren't interpreted. They were written in the Bible, laying there. It had to be in the Bible.
Sure.
Written in the Bible, laying there, not interpreted. And the early church didn't know these things. Oh, I know some try and teach it a little different. Then how is it that it was sealed up until the time of the end then?
Right.
It was open and then sealed up. If it was open, it would have produced rapturing faith. Isn't that what it's supposed to do? It's supposed to produce rapturing faith. Did they rapture? Did they have rapturing faith? You say, well, I think they did. Then why didn't they rapture? They had everything that they were supposed to have. They had everything that was revealed. But they didn't know that Dutch was coming. They didn't know that this brother was coming. They didn't know that Augie was coming. They didn't know there was going to be a sword here tonight. They didn't know there was going to be a falling away through the church ages. They didn't know that the man of sin was going to do this and that and that. They didn't know that the bride tree was going to be cut down and then come back and bring forth the same fruit. They didn't know that. It was hidden, waiting to be revealed in the end time, to an end time people. So what we have tonight is more. It's greater. It's more. But we also have what they had. So we have more than the restoration of the gifts. We have more than an anointing on the Spirit. We have a rapturing message. And we have faith that will literally change our bodies.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The bride age is mentioned 4 times in the message. And 4 more times as bride time. Bride age, bride time. But what exactly is it? We know what people that are confused say that it is.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, first of all, it doesn't mean that the Laodicean church age is over. We're still living in the last age. There is no, the bride age is not an 8th day. The bride age is not some time that's outside of the church ages. Because there are 7 church age messengers. There are 7 church ages. There are 7 churches. There are 7 messages. 7 thunders. Got to stay with your sevens. So the Laodicean age is not over.
Amen.
Well, of course it isn't. We see the spirit of Laodicea all over the earth.
Yeah.
So what exactly is it then? So that is a reproach, friends. A reproach that needs to be rolled away.
Right.
Needs to be cut off. Right?
Correct.
We're in the 8th day. Well, the 8th day is eternity. We haven't even made it to the 7th yet.
Right.
Which is the millennium.
Yes. Correct.
Now, your soul has entered into eternity, but you're still here.
Yeah. Right.
We are the overcomers that's spoken of from the Laodicean church age.
Correct.
In the Laodicean church age, there are overcomers.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So if we're not in Laodicea, why do you need to overcome?
Right.
Or what are you overcoming?
Right.
Or what are you doing? What are you supposed to be doing?
Right.
You don't even have a message anymore if you're outside of the Laodicean church age. You don't even have a message.
Right.
You don't have anything to show me what it is that you're supposed to be doing.
Right. Right.
The messenger is our messenger. He just so happens to be the messenger to the entire age, whether they accept him or not. But he's our messenger. There's no 8th day in the Gentile dispensation. So the bride age, simply put, it's the time when the elect lady, the bride, comes to maturity and Christ is dealing with her and no longer with the church.
Amen.
Why? Because in this age, the church puts him out. And he's on the outside knocking. Other Brad says he's on the outside of Pentecost trying to get back in with Pentecost. So they got the restoration of the gifts, but they missed the giver, the person. So he's on the outside. And then we read in the book of Revelations where he says, okay, I'm outside. He says, come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sins. He's outside of the camp. And so you have to come out. You've been called out of the church.
Amen.
You've been called out to unite with him. To commune with him.
Amen.
Him to sup with you. You with him.
Right.
You've invited him to come into your soul. And take up his abode. You've invited him to come into his body.
Amen.
To his bride body. To give him the preeminence.
Amen.
But he's outside of the church.
Right.
During the church age.
Right.
So the bride age, you know, we've had so many ages just during this age. We've had the industrial age. We've had the computer age. We've had the astronaut age. We've had, you could just go down the list of all the things that have shown up that we could focus on and say, well, it's this age. But it's all happening within a period of time. So the church has put him on the outside. The church doesn't know who he is. It's not because they weren't told. God sent a prophet, told the church who he is. They put him out. And so he's called for his bride to come out of the church and to unite with him and walk with him and commune with him. So it is a bride age or a bride time, because he's not even in the church. Now people just, they get all twisted up when you make statements like that. Oh, that's just so mean. How could you be so mean? It's because you got a sword in your hand. How could you be so mean? You're the mean one. Because you put him out. He's begging, crying. He wanted to come back in to his own church. But they put him out. There's plenty of quotes for this, friends. He says, yes, they still sing to him. They still pray to him. They still ask for things. But they've put him out. Brother Branham said, he was quoting Billy Graham at one time. He said, Billy Graham made this statement. Billy Graham said, if the Holy Spirit was to be taken off of the earth, he said, not even one half of 1% would even notice the difference. Oh, they'd still sing. They'd still, cry. They'd still get shivers, right? And then go out and live just like the world, right? The titles of the messages will indict them. The presence of God unrecognized. The mighty God unveiled. He's come just exactly. Look at the fulfillment of Revelation chapter 3, 14 through, 19, 20. The message to the Laodicean church age. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's been put outside. And he describes, he says, you say you're rich, increase with goods, have need of nothing. You say that. That's the church. He said, but I say, now you're blind as a bat. You're naked spiritually, wretched, spiritually poor, right? And then he talks to his true church. He talks to his elect. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and to anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may see. Zealous, be zealous therefore and repent. That, hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So he first identifies the church that he came to that said, they put him out. And they said, we have need of nothing. We're the church. But they put him out. And then he speaks to his true church, says, come out. Here's what you need to do so that you aren't like the rest. The ones that put me out. Oh, hallelujah. It sounds so flat, but it's so true. He's not in the denominational churches. He's not there. Now, friends, until this word came open, we turned a corner when the book came open. Until the word came open, he was still there, because the seed was coming up through the wheat plant, and the wheat plant was the churches. And the churches were to produce the wheat, right? The last stage of it is what's called the shuck. And the shuck looks like wheat. But inside of the shuck is where the wheat forms. The life moves from the shuck into a seed. A seed is formed on the inside. And then there comes a period of time when the shuck opens up so that that seed can ripen in the sun. And then the shuck pushes the seed out. Now remember, he foreran the coming of Christ in bride form.
Amen.
Right? That's Christ. That seed. The same seed. The Alpha and the Omega. It's that same seed. Right? That was thrown out. We talk about how he was put out of the church. They don't want him in there. Now let me ask you. Do they want you in there? With what you believe? Do they want you in there? Do you have liberty? Could you be... Would they allow you to stay? We were told, you know, this didn't make sense to me when this message first came across my path, but I'm thinking, okay, I don't understand everything, and I know that. And I know that I never would have found this, so I'm just gonna try and follow this, and, you know, I'll just trust the Lord. It don't make a lot of sense to me, but I'll just trust the Lord. Brother Brown said, you just stay there. What should I do? Well, just stay there with that group. Let your light shine. Right? And I thought, well, that don't sound right. They're not preaching the truth. Just stay there and let your light shine. But then when you do it, you find out what it means. If your light shines, right? Why? Because light has come to you. They'll either convert, repent, or they'll kick you out.
Right.
So listening to it, Brother Henry, I'm thinking, Brother Ram saying, well, you know, just stay there and just continue to pay your tithes and be a good Christian and just stay in that church. He said, just let your light shine. Right? Well, if you do that, if your light shines, they will either receive Christ or they'll kick Christ out. And Christ happens to be in you. We take this so personally. You're not the one that's being rejected. He is. I don't want to show of hands, but you know, there are a lot of us that came out of something that we weren't born in the message, right? And probably every one of us that came out, we were excited by what we heard. And we were convinced that if we just shared it with our Baptist friends, man, this is wonderful. This is awesome. We just share it with our pipe-smoking Lutherans. Surely they'll receive it. Right? Oh, you believe that too? Why wouldn't they? That's what we're all here for. We're all here to know Christ, and if we can know him in a greater way, right? But then you found out different. Some didn't even stop to listen for a moment. Some just trotted it underneath their feet, and you're devastated. And then you thought, I always have been kind of a dummy. I probably just didn't explain it right. You know, I need Bob Willard, I need Hector Sadu, I need Dave Green, I need Joe Green, I need Perry Green, I need somebody else with a name of Green. I need somebody else that's been in this longer than me to explain it to them. And surely they'll receive it. Did they? Well, why did you? Why did you receive it? Why do you believe it? That's a question you should ask yourself. Why are you different? Or is this just, is this just some other kind of group because, we're a bunch of holdouts from the 60s, we were hippies at one time, and we don't get your laws off of me. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. What denomination are you of?
None.
So this is just some other kind of thing? Or to what we have, is it real? Does it match the Bible?
Yes.
Now, friends, I'm trying to help you here tonight. I'm trying to cut away some thinking that needs to be cut away. Right? And part of the reason why we're not seeing everything that we want to see is because some things need to be cut away. If you've got these little tag-along, nice little thoughts that, you know, some of us, we just never want to think a bad thought about somebody. Some of us, even when we hear something about somebody that it may be true, we just don't want to hear it. But you got to hear it.
Right.
We need to be adults. This isn't personal. Right? Truth is truth. Right? We need to cut away the thoughts that Christ is in the denominations. He's not. He's been put out. The shuck has kicked out the seed. The fullness of the word is here. So having a partial word is no longer acceptable. It was acceptable until the word came open. Till the fullness of the word. Now we can't claim ignorance any longer. Amen? God's not winking at it any longer. He did wink at it for a period of time. He was only holding us accountable for what we had. That's why Luther could have a big stein of beer and smoke a cigar or pipe or whatever it was that he did and hate the Jews and still be bride. Because that portion of the word had not been restored. But now the fullness is here. So what we're doing away with is the time of just having parts. The fullness is here. And he is in the fullness. Hallelujah. Maybe this should have been Sunday morning instead of Wednesday night. This is where we're at. I expect the devil to try to fight this. The battle's going on in your head right now. I'm just helping you out a little bit. What denomination was Brother Branham a part of? He was outside of it. And he tried to have fellowship with all of them.
Sure.
And what happened? They put him out.
Yeah.
Well, did they put him out or did they put Christ out?
Right.
Because the word comes to the prophet.
Right.
And they said, well, you know, he's a prophet. You know, and he's got this gift and he's got that gift and he's got this gift, but just don't believe his doctrine. You need to have your head examined. You don't even know what a prophet is. The very thing that they choked on is what we're feasting on. Those other things are part of it, but they're the bait. Hallelujah. So he's been put out of his own church. Now, friends, I'm not saying that people aren't getting saved. I'm not saying that people aren't confessing him as their savior. Right? But that's not bride. So it's not an eighth age, but it's a bride time during the seventh age. And it's the time of the fullness. The bride is now coming to maturity. And the bride is able, she's of marriageable age, and she's able now to reproduce her husband. And how does she do that? She receives the word. It's the time of the bride when Christ is manifested in bride form. And friends, we need this word to cleanse us. And we need this word to circumcise us of these thoughts that have been injected along the way. So people take the quote, "The word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work this day." And then they teach that we no longer have an experience. And that we no longer, the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes by believing only. Which incidentally is a Baptist thought.
Right.
No experience, no manifestation. And that's a lie from the pits of hell. And you'll have to do away with the book of Acts and a whole lot of other scriptures in order to back that up. It just so happens, I just think that this is such a coincidence. It just so happens that their doctrine fits their condition. So what people do is they look at their condition and they form a doctrine to defend their position. Because they can't face the word down, because the word would show that there's something wrong with their condition. So what they're doing is they are admitting to you that there hasn't been a change in their lives. That they have not met Jesus Christ personally. Let me give you an example. I hate to use, well, I won't use names, but I'll tell you. A prominent minister that we became friends with, that we were introduced to, we were invited to preach for. We were out their way, and a young brother was the services were over. There's a bunch of ministers around, and a young brother asked me. He says, "You know, I've repented and I've been baptized, but you know, how do you get the Holy Ghost?" So I'm sitting in this pastor's living room, and I didn't think this would be controversial. It's the message. So I told him, "The promise is yours. You know, you believe, you've truly died out, truly repented, you've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you've been promised that you'll be quickened, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that you'll pass from death to life, that a change will come, power will come into your life to live this word. He will make himself real to you personally." So I'm explaining this, and I'm feeling a little tension. And the pastor is turning colors of orange and red and pink, and his wife is sitting there, and she made the mistake a couple of times of saying I was her favorite preacher. You don't say that to... What was you thinking? Well, he stops me, and he grabs a hold of the walkie-talkie and holds the transmit button down. You understand the analogy there? If you're holding that down, there's no receiving. All you're doing is transmitting, right? So if somebody, did you guys play with walkie-talkies when you were kids?
Yeah.
Wasn't it frustrating, the dumb kid that would just hold it down and wouldn't let go? And he said, "Why won't you answer me? Why won't you answer me?" But he's got his finger on there. You can't answer him.
Yeah.
Well, when somebody gets in the transmit mode, they don't want to hear what you have to say. They're not listening. Well, he just raked me over the coals. He told me, "Well, Brother Doug, here's how it was for me. You know, I was in my room, and you know, and I was a boy, and you know, I read this message, and it just became so real to me, and you know, that was it." "Well, when was that?" "Well, you know, I can't really tell you exactly when, but well, what happened?" "Well, you know, that was the new birth. That was the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right?" And he was angry, and I have faced more opposition on that than anything else. And you know why? Because if the devil can keep you from the new birth, he's got you. So I don't blame the devil for putting so much emphasis on that, right? Well, there wasn't much I could say. I certainly didn't argue with him, and I wasn't going to argue with him in his own home in front of his family. He shouldn't have put himself into that position. But I was being respectful. I didn't agree with him, but I didn't argue with them either. Well, he's no longer in the message now. It was just a couple of years later, right? And now he's denying the message. And his big church is all split up, right? So let me ask you, did he have the Holy Ghost? Was he born again of the Spirit of God? Of course not. You can't deny the Word. Amen. If you're born of the Word.
Amen.
If you're part of the Word, how can you deny yourself? So what is the point there? The new birth had been boiled down to, you know, and you can find quotes for this, but it has to dovetail all the way through. There was a time when Brother Branham said it was, proof of the baptism of the Holy Ghost was, the fruits of the Spirit.
Right.
Well, is that true? Yes and no. Yes, you will have the fruits of the Spirit, right? But you can have fruits of the Spirit by just being anointed by the Spirit and not being quickened in the soul, right? And then he said it was love, right? Well, that's yes and no also. You can be all lovey-dovey. The Holy Spirit moving on your spirit. But then he comes to a climax. And he said, the proof is you'll say amen to every word. Right? So what did the intellectuals do with that one? Well, just believe the message then. Just say amen to the message. But the thing is, if you're not born again of the Spirit, you can't say amen to every word. Because you can't keep every word. And because he has to reveal it to you. In order for you to say amen to every word, he has to reveal it to you. So you will fall away somewhere. So yes, it's true. You will say amen to every word. But you'll not only say amen to every word, you'll live it.
Right.
You'll live by every word. So they're just admitting that there has not been a change in their lives and that they have not met Jesus Christ personally. They imagine that they have. They think their intellectual conception of him is him. Well, we thought that too, as Baptists. I mean, if you don't know any better. So what they did was they gave birth to the thought of him. And not him.
Right.
And then they reform. But they're not transformed. You put on a message uniform, get a message hairdo. Start using, I call it messagees. You know, you start, seven thunders, son of man, bride. Start using lingo that you didn't use before, right? But if you haven't met him, you can still fall away. Judas met him and yet never met him. No upper room experience to go with their so-called day of Pentecost.
Right.
Just believe God sent a prophet. You know, in mathematics, they talk about, they use terms like, this is a necessary condition, but it's not sufficient. Right? This must be true, but some other things must be true also. Believe God sent a prophet. True or false? Yeah. Is it necessary? Is it sufficient? The devil believes God sent a prophet. So it's not sufficient. You have to do something more than what the devil does. The devil absolutely knows that God sent a prophet. He dealt with them. He was defeated by the word that came to that prophet. Oh, he's convinced that God sent a prophet. But that's not enough. It's necessary, but not sufficient. Believe the word. Yes. But the word has to be revealed to you. And you can't believe it except he reveals it to you. He said, I will lead you into all truth. So if he's not leading you into all truth, you haven't got him. Okay, let me get to some quotes here. I don't want to keep you too much longer. The Invisible Union, again, Brother Bram says, and if a woman won't have a baby for her husband, she'll take a dog or a cat or something. She's got to mother something. It's a nature. But to bear a child for her husband and to raise it to the service of God, that's entirely all out of her line. She should, she'd be so disgraced if she did by her sin-loving society of this 1965 type of woman. He says a true picture of the modern church today. Neither does the modern church want any of these here. Listen to this. This was November 25th, 1965. So was this before or after the seals? This was a month before Brother Branham left the scene. Did he make any changes from there to preaching the rapture and communion? A true picture of the modern church today. Neither does the modern church want any of these here screaming, shouting, tongue speaking, Acts 2:38 youngins around her. She don't want any of them whooping and crying and screaming. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Why, such a child would immediately put her out of her denomination. They had one like that in one of the churches. Why, they'd throw her out right quick. Why are you letting such stuff as this go along? That's in our ranks. And I can tell you where it's at. And I've seen this for years. But I couldn't tell you. And I'm not going to point out this church or that church. But I see it everywhere I go. People with their goosenecks turning around, staring me down. All the anointing is supposed to be in the guy in the pulpit, but not in the congregation. Well, what's the point? In our own ranks, I've had people give me the evil eye. They wanted to escort me out. And maybe if I hadn't been a pastor or a minister, they might have done that. Why? Because, and they'll use these terms. Brother Doug, you can't hold on to Pentecost and the message at the same time. Oh yeah? Watch me. The difference between me and you is I have the true Pentecost. I know what Pentecost is. It's not an emotion. It's not a doctrine. It's a person. And it's an experience. It's a life. It's Jesus Christ real in my life. And God spent 2,000 years restoring it to the church. He's not going to take it out. You take that life out, there won't be a rapture. You take that life out, there won't be an overcomer. You take that life out, there'll just be a bunch of intellectual ignoramuses. Quote the message frontwards, sidewards, but can't have fellowship. Won't fellowship with anybody that doesn't agree with them. And they don't even agree with themselves because they're disagreeable. Friends, that would be any of us without the new birth. It's no different than what we lived in the denominations. The same character, the same mannerisms, the same approach. But Christ is coming in a body. Now, you have to understand something here. I don't hate them for that. I don't even dislike them for that. But I've
Excuse me if I question it. Because it's not what was restored back to us. It's not what this message has brought to us. And it's not producing another book of Acts. Friends, we got to come all the way out with this. You want to see power in the church? I'll tell you what, there was an anointing that was on me on Sunday night. We used to have that kind of an anointing a lot more often than we do. And I'm not, this has nothing to do with you. I just realized, you know, there's a key there. I just need to start using it a little bit more. You know, we just get naturalized, and I mean, anything could have happened. Towards the end of the service, God was honoring His word, because we're boldly standing on His word, not mincing words, not trying to cover up, not trying to worry about feelings. Of course we care about feelings, but we care about the word first and foremost. And we care about you enough to know that this is greater than your feelings, and it'll correct your feelings. It'll put your feelings in the right direction. Don't want any of these here screaming, shouting, tongue-speaking Acts 2:38 youngins around her. She don't want any of them whooping and crying and screaming amen and hallelujah. Why such a child would immediately put her out of her denomination. I went to a real big church, special meetings, and I went to amen, Brother Tim Pruitt, and to try to get some more fellowship. It wasn't Tim Pruitt's church, so don't think about that. But he's preaching, and he's anointed, and I'm just amening, and you could just feel it, you know? You could feel it when people aren't in the same channel maybe that you are, or that they're annoyed because you're saying amen. Right? Friends, I got quotes frontward, sideways, backwards, all the way through. Brother Branham, that guy was saying amen, and it just ruined the service for me. Brother Branham said, any service that can be ruined by somebody saying amen ought to be ruined. Right. We don't have to back up to anybody for inviting Christ. For enjoying Enjoying what He's doing in our lives. For allowing Him to have the preeminence. For washing His feet when we feel to wash His feet, no matter what anybody else thinks. For letting Him have the preeminence. I don't care how I gotta act, just as long as it's Him. I just want reality. Amen? Sister Baker was with me. Well, we got to service the next night, and they were. They recognized who we were, and so we got a place kind of down in the middle over near some other ministers. Next night we came, they put us up in the balcony. No, it was in the morning. Yeah. Put us up. No, actually, the next service, they put us in the back next to the pastor's wife, so that she could listen to our amens. And, you know, I know what's going on. I'm not stupid. And maybe we'd hush up, you know, if we're sitting next to the pastor's wife, right? My wife won't hush up. Why would I? So then the third service, we're up in a balcony with crying kids. I'm not stupid. I recognize what's happening. Why? Because we got the word. We got the word, so we're not going to act like babies. No screaming, no shouting, no tongue speaking. That's the only kind of church there is. Now, friends, that's not the theme. And you know that we're not preaching. We're not trying to get you to act that way. Just leave me alone. Well, I'm not feeling that way. Well, get born again. Maybe you will. I can't help it if you're trying to receive Him with your mind. Let Him in your soul. They had one like that one in the churches. Why they throw her out right quick? Why are you letting such a stuff as this go along? November 25th, 1965. So you see, she's pregnated with something because she's bringing forth members all the time. But she don't want none of them screaming, hollering, blabbering Acts 2:38 miserable creatures that she thinks that they are. I ain't miserable, friends. I was miserable. I've never been so happy. It would certainly embarrass her. Yeah, they're embarrassed by it. It would ruin her and her educated, ethical, scientific society church that she belonged to here. They would throw her out at the next council. Yeah, they have councils. They get together with their buddies. She can't have it. So she don't want to be pregnated with the word. Because that's the only kind. Wait a minute. I'm not going to read this. No way. You read it, Augie. It's underlined there.
Because that's the only kind that the word can bring forth.
But Isaac, what does that say? No, he didn't say that. The word does not. We've got the word. The word doesn't bring forth blabbering, hollering, snotting. Miserable creatures. The word don't do that. Well, the one that was introducing the word said, the word does that. The one that said, this is, I'm going to introduce the bride. I'm forerunning the word in bride form. And here's what she'll do. Blabber. Holler. Scream. Friends, some people that makes them nervous because they think, you know, I'm not real boisterous. Yeah, but you do feel something.
Yeah.
You might be the type that just cries.
Yep.
But it's a wonderful cry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Something's happening.
Yes.
If nothing's happening, you have religion. If you don't leave tonight different than you came in, you got religion. Every time we come, something's taking place. Because that's the only kind that the word can bring forth. Born of the Spirit of God, it has the Spirit of God in it. No intellectual church join and creed going bobbed haired painted face. There's no such a thing as that in all of it. You don't find that in the Word of God. You find November 25th, 1965. You find an old fashioned, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled child, born of the Spirit of God, screaming, hollering, shouting, and praising God. You know, we're all just trying to get away from ourselves. That's what a lot of our struggle is when we come into church. We're trying to, you know, get in the right atmosphere, put away the thoughts of the day, get away with the thoughts of, you know, you were looking at this one or that one, you're impatient with yourself. All the humanness that we go through, we want to get out of that and kind of get lifted up to the place where we can be who we really are. Where were you when the sons of God nodded their heads? And the morning stars. I'll tell you where you were if that's your interpretation. Where were you when the sons of God shouted for joy? And the morning stars sang. Now, friends, actually, I don't want to spend too much time. I'm just going to detour on this thought for just a moment. We used to think that that meant that that's what took place before the foundation of the world. That isn't what took place before the foundation of the world. God saw you before the foundation of the world in this day, singing, shouting. singing, shouting. Why, you got something to sing about. You got something to shout. Something happened. Something happened. Something changed. Something got a hold of you. Something transformed you. Something set you free. Something broke you out of the prison house. Broke the chains. Something gave you power to overcome, power to live, power to forgive, power to trust, power to believe, power to hope. Something got a hold of you. So how does this quote that I just read to you, how does it dovetail with the statement that I read to you earlier in the same message? We got something different, he says. Well, what is different? What we have is something more. We don't have a part. But we have the whole. The word that fell on the day of Pentecost won't work today, he says. It won't change our bodies. It won't take us into a rapture. But we need that. Because you won't get the word that we have today without that. And if you have that, you're still a blabber and slobber and snotter and... Don't throw it out. He's just trying to... He's dealing with so many different groups. He's dealing with Jack Moore's church there. He's in Shreveport. And Jack is... Brother Brown's preaching things and Jack's going like this. As if he doesn't know that Brother Branham knows what he's doing behind his back. He's not embracing it. He's staying with Pentecost. And Brother Branham says, that won't work. That won't work. Come into this. Come up higher. Come into the open word. So we don't throw it out. It's just as necessary as the word that fell on Luther's day and Wesley's day and so on. It's that and more. So we've been sent a prophet in this last age to do two things. Two things. And every one of you ought to know what those two things are. One is to restore. Restore what? All that has been revealed to the servants of prophets, right? Restore what they had, what they had before the church ages even began, that they'd been preaching for 30 years.
Right.
And to reveal the mystery that allows us to take the title deed to our inheritance. In other words, to the seven thunders. In fact, there's a quote. I should have put that quote in here. He says the seventh church age messenger was sent to do two things. Right? It's in the church age book. One, turn our hearts back to the original, to the Pentecostal fathers. So that's the restoration of the word. The word that they had there has to be here. And to reveal the seven thunders. So that's more than Acts chapter 2. He's to restore us back so that we can have an Acts chapter 2. And we still have an Acts chapter 2 and 3 and 4 and so on and so forth. But we also have more. So, Brother Juan, we still have whooping and crying and shouting and amen and glory to God. The stimulation that comes with the revelation. But we also have the revealed word that was previously hidden to all prior ages, but is revealed in these last days. word needed for us to come to maturity. Word needed to allow him to have the preeminence in a body. Word needed to allow him to impregnate us, to allow him to reproduce himself in a body, and to bring a body change and a resurrection. So it's not a call for a workup. It's not a call for a manufacturing of an experience.
Right.
And to those that have a problem with this, just me even talking about it tonight,
right,
they'll say you're majoring on a minor, or you're trying to take us back to something. How could I take you back to 1906 if I wasn't there?
Right.
I'm not trying to reproduce that. I'm trying to show you where your revival is, and to show you that your revival contains a whole lot. It's not just a part. So if we say, well, we have the word and that's it, and the new birth comes a different way and all this other kind of hogwash, well, you've just done away with a whole bunch of stuff, and now you've got a part again. The word will produce the word. You know, that's really the bottom line there, Brother Augie. All right, you got the word. Prove it.
Yeah.
No, don't. I don't want to hear your quotes. I don't want to hear your doctrine. Let me see your life.
Yeah.
Let me see the love of the brethren. Let me see the all-night prayer meetings.
Yeah.
Let me see the sighing and crying for the sins that are done in the cities.
Right.
Let me see you putting somebody else first.
Right. Yeah.
Let me see you not saying nasty things about Pentecost.
Right.
They're embarrassed of them. Why do you think Brother Branham preached Jesus with dirty feet? Because
yeah,
that same spirit's still here.
Right.
They're embarrassed of them.
Right.
Oh, they invite them, but they sure don't. They want them to be silent.
Right.
Well, hallelujah. So, friends, I'm not trying to get you to act like me. I'm not trying to get you to act like Brother Branham. I'm not trying to get you to act like anybody else. Just be who God made you.
Amen.
And let him have his way.
Amen.
My goal is for you to experience him in the full measure in this day.
Amen.
Brother Branham said the true church isn't a bobbed-haired, painted-faced, intellectual church joining bunch. Right? Well, Brother Baker, I suppose this is the spot where you're going to tell women to quit putting on so much makeup because it's getting noticeable. Huh? Nope, not at all. I'm not going to say that. Get a trowel and really put it on thick. If you're going to put it on thick. We want to know who you are. If that's you. But if you're a son or daughter of God, you're not doing that.
Hallelujah.
Brother Branham saw that in hell. You won't find that in the Word. Brother Branham says you find an old-fashioned, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled child born of the Spirit of God, screaming, hollering, shouting, and praising God.
Amen.
When is the last time somebody got saved in churches nowadays? Now, I realize, friends, here in America that we're gleaning. I realize that. I realize that we aren't going to have some big outward revival. There is a revival. It's going on right now. But it's not a revival for the rest of the world. It's a revival for the bride. When's the last time somebody cried out at an old-fashioned altar? We have a lot of church joining instead of a nature change. Are you with me? Just stay with me for a couple more minutes. Why doesn't, Brother Dutch, why doesn't the Holy Ghost keep people today? It does.
Amen.
He knows that. That's why I asked him. He's looking at me like, was that a question? What are you asking me for? I'm here, aren't I? Yeah, it's keeping you. What kind of children does the church bring forth? Now, friends, we got this sword here, and we're using it on purpose.
Yeah.
We're not trying to offend anybody, hurt anybody's feelings. But if you're hearing this, and if any of this bothers you, you need to get down in prayer. Because you got to take it all. The embarrassing stuff and the shouting stuff. Again, he says, notice what she loves. Watch her lover. You want to know, you want to see who she's in love with? The word says this, but she says, well, my church says this. Then who's she in love with? Who's her husband? Her own fruits proves what she is. Exactly right. Shows what she is. Notice, she was born first to Adam, because that's her natural birth, see? And she never left that. That's a lover of the world. She claims that she's born a second time to Christ. But her lover, notice, is Adam yet, because she loves the world. And another thing, notice what kind of children that she's bearing. Now, she's preaching at Jack Moore's church here. Jack Moore's getting, he's blowing up like a bullfrog. Notice what kind of children she's bearing. That tells what her papa is. Whether it's the first Adam or the second Adam. If the church brings forth a child of the second Adam, he acts the second Adam's way of acting. Like they did on the day of Pentecost. 11:25-65. Like they did on the day of Pentecost. 11:25-65. That's the really true second Adam's children. See, right? Their nature is like his and hers. Yes, sir. Her daughters, painted face, bobbed haired, wearing men's clothes, trousers. The Bible said for her not to do it. She cuts her hair. It's a shame for her. You say, shut up on that. He was catching that spirit. That's what the word says. I'm only pointing out nature. That's what she does. Well, I thought he said, that word won't work for this day. Well, he did. We have that and more. If that's all you have, you haven't come into the word. Now, this next statement that I'm going to read to you is from a message that's preached 2 days after he said, in this message, that won't work. That word won't work for this day. Okay? Just to show you that you've got to place this properly. Trying to do God a service without it being his will. 11:27, 1965. Now let's see what happened when God in his time and age and his prophets are not considered. Just depend on theology, priests, denominationalism, like we do today. Now closely, it all gets messed up. If the true spirit of God there, it'll direct it into the word. Not just one place in the word. The entire word for the entire age. So you can't do away with any of the word if you want it to dovetail. He says, see, the day of Pentecost, the Spirit directed it right into that, to Joel 2:38. See, the day of Luther, it directed it right into that. Wesley, in this last Pentecostal move. But this is another age. This is the calling out of the bride. Now, not 2,000 years ago at Pentecost, or repeat, or the return, but there is a Pentecost. What is he saying? This is the bride time, the bride age, not the initiating of redemption, but the completion of it. So how could it be a repeat of what started? It can't be a repeat. It's that and more. Again, the Holy Spirit was in Luther. The Holy Spirit was in Wesley. It's God's word being anointed. And the Holy Spirit returned to the people of the age. And they begin to have the restoration of the gifts. They found out by yielding themselves to God, the Holy Spirit spoke in tongues and through them. They laid their hands on the sick and they was recovered. They danced in the Spirit. See, that was the age of the Reformation, bringing the church back into order. Well, if that's bringing the church back into order, that's God's order. Yes. And
And the last order of the church was placing the gifts into the church, like Luther placed justification, Wesley placed sanctification, Pentecost placed the gifts. But what did they do? The same mistake. As nature has patterned to the wheat stalk, they denominated, which is against God. It's contrary to God. But now is the bride calling. Now is when the seven seals, not six, seven seals has been opened. Now, when the complete things that the reformers has left has to be opened. And only Malachi 4 can do that. Because it takes the revelation straight from God to an individual to do so. That's right. It can't come to a group. Never did. One man. That's what God promised in the shadows of the coming for his bride and Eliezer. So, at that point in time, it was a one-man message. Right? It wasn't the same as Pentecost because it was to one now instead of 120. This was different from what took place at Pentecost in that sense. But now is a bride calling and an opening of the seven seals, so it's more. You still have a new birth. The Holy Spirit still quickens you, seals you until the day of your redemption. But there's more. Are you still with me? So men will take a few isolated quotes and they'll let Satan anoint them to take the very life out of the church. This is from the Easter seal, April 10th, 1965. As Jesus said, "Go ye therefore, teach all the nations, and prove to them, by demonstrating the power of God to them, these signs shall follow them that believe." Amen. Them who promise and say they believe, he give us a definite understanding of that. These signs would follow them that believe. It would be proof of their testimony. Now, we can say that we believe, but until we are the proven sign that he said that would be upon us, then we are just confessing to be believers and not possession of believers. Remember, we're going in to possess the land, not to just claim that we have it, but to actually possess it. So are we just saying it, or do we have it? Again, he says, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." How far? All the world. Who to? Every creature. They've never received it yet. Well, the reason why they never received it yet, this great commission couldn't be fulfilled until our day. Because we have to preach the full word. And that's what the signs will follow, that word. And that's what will convert people. They never received it yet. These signs shall follow them that believe. How long? All the world. Who to? Every creature. These signs shall follow them in all the world and in every creature. These signs shall follow them. In my name they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues. If they've taken up a deadly thing or a serpent or drinking a deadly thing, it will not harm them. They'll lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. That was his last commission to the church. Mark the 16th chapter. Paul is ordaining these gifts into the church. Only to take them out, just, you know. All this time, Brother Henry, to restore it, but to take it out. Paul is ordaining these gifts into the church 30 years later. And he said in Galatians 1:8, "If an angel from heaven preaches to you any other gospel than this which is already received," see, already been preached, "let him be accursed." I believe that Pentecost began without an ending. See, this has to dovetail. He's not throwing it out. It's still there. I believe Pentecost began without an ending. I believe it's to be to every creature, all times, at all places, that Pentecost should always remain. That Pentecost should always remain. That Pentecost should always remain. The Pentecostal blessings should be upon the people. And now, what is this Pentecostal blessing? It's the confirmation of the resurrection. So without the Pentecostal blessing, you're not proof that he is living. It's the confirmation of the resurrection. No wonder the gospel itself means good news. Good news of what? He is raised from the dead. And because I live, ye live also. Which ye which were once dead in sins and trespasses, God has quickened to us together by that Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. And we are now sitting in heavenly places with him, communing with him, talking with him. Listen to this. What a joy to tell people that story. That believes that to be the truth. What a joy to tell people that story that believes that to be the truth. He says, I'm wondering today, what's happening? Are we really getting people to God, or are we just getting them to church? We must get them to Christ, where this quickening power. It's good to go to church. Sure, if that's as far as we go, it's not far enough. When you come to church, that's good, but go on to Christ from the church, because we must receive this quickening power. Amen. If we ever expect to be in that general resurrection, because it's the only thing that will ever bring us from the dead. For if that Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it will also quicken, make, bring to life your mortal bodies. What a promise to us, he says. So we must earnestly, friends, contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, that Malachi 4 was sent to turn our hearts back to. And it will take a living word to bring the last ones in. It'll take a living word to change them. It'll take a living word to bring them to maturity. We have more, and we must take it all. It will take Jesus Christ coming in you and I to make us a mature people. Amen? Because he's the one. These signs, you know, we read that scripture, these signs shall follow them that believe, and that's absolutely true. But why are they following you? It's not you, it's him in you. If he's in you, the signs are following him. So the reproach of Egypt must be rolled off of the people. Give me one more minute. Is this the sign of the end, sir? Just before the opening of the word. He said, some of the mysteries that this angel is supposed to wind up, all the mysteries of God. He says, may I say this with reverence, and not referring to myself, but referring to the angel of God. The serpent seed, that's been a hidden mystery all through the years. The grace straightened out, not disgrace, but real true grace. No such thing as an eternal burning hell. You burn for millions of years, but anything that was eternal had never beginning nor end, and hell was created. All these mysteries. The mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, without cessation. But the person of Christ performing in you the same works that he did. Now, I preached on the new birth at some other meetings, and had another evangelist that you all know get up and contradict what I brought. And he got up and said, you know, Mary received the Holy Ghost without cessation. You know, the angel of the Lord spoke to her, and she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, and Christ was formed in her womb. And there was no cessation, because if there was, it would have been man and da-da-da-da-da. You're an idiot. Mary went to the upper room. And Mary had an experience. And there was a literal experience. When she brought forth Christ in her womb, that was not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, there's a quote for that. You Catholic people, you think you're going to get in some other way? You claim Mary, and you're counting on Mary. If she had to go to the upper room and die out. And if she came out speaking in tongues, you think you're going to get in some other way?
Amen.
It's amazing how people will take these quotes and they'll just leave out obvious stuff. Your soul is resting on this. What I love about this, Brother Andy, is that we can actually know that we know that we know.
Amen.
We're not, well, they just think they're right. Everybody thinks they're right. Well, somebody is right.
Amen.
Those to whom the word has come to.
Amen.
We're not little kids anymore. God has proven this. So many in our ranks, and I'm pulling over here in just a minute, many in our ranks take that quote and they teach, we get the Holy Ghost without being aware of it. And I gave you the example of that pastor that no longer follows the message, that wasn't aware of it when he got the Holy Ghost. That's because he got a ghost, but it wasn't holy. Questions and answers. August 23rd, 1964. Dear Brother Branham, I've been baptized in Jesus' name. The word says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Does this mean the baptism, the Holy Spirit? Or does it mean I should receive the gift, definite? I should receive a definite experience with the baptism. I'm anxious to be filled with the Spirit. Please excuse the long note, as I've been wanting to ask you this question for a long time. Thank you. And the person has her name signed. They're out-of-town people. He says, now there's a good question. Now, the baptism with the Holy Spirit is a definite experience that a person must receive. Oh, no, he made a mistake there, and he had to correct it later on. This is after the opening of the Word. Now, let me kind of clear that up for just a minute. Now, many people, they have the idea, I believe it's twisted, maybe right here to the church, and to the church that's listening, there might be a question. Now, when I speak of not believing the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking with tongues, he says, I do not accept that. I believe with God's help, I can prove in the Bible that that's wrong, because speaking in tongues is a gift of the Holy Ghost. How many knows that? Divine healing is a gift of the Holy Ghost. And here the Beatles are doing it. See, Satan can impersonate any of those gifts. Witches, wizards can speak in tongues and interpret it. The jungle lands, many times a wizard will speak in tongues, drink blood out of a human skull, and interpret unknown tongues. The same thing repeats. That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. When God reveals to you and you see it,
hallelujah,
thus saith the Lord,
hallelujah,
and accept it. When, this is him revealing it to you.
Amen.
Not, okay, the pastor preached it, so, you know, I guess he's a pretty good guy and whatever, and I got respect, so I guess I'll believe that. Or the church teaches it, or mom and dad teach it. It's personal.
Amen.
It's him, and you know it's him. You know that he's revealing it to you. It's, you didn't know it, and all of a sudden you know it. Now, he says, not what you are or what you was or nothing about it. It's what God has done for you now. There's the evidence. There was a time when he wasn't speaking to you personally.
Yes.
And then he started speaking to you personally.
Amen.
And power came in your life.
Hallelujah.
To live right.
Hallelujah.
And to overcome. He give us the evidence of the Holy Ghost. John 14, he said, I have many things to tell you. I haven't got time to do it. But when the Holy Ghost comes, he will tell you, bring to your memory the things that I told you about, and will also show you things that is to come. Don't you see? There's the evidence. That's fortune telling and being having the divine interpretation of the written word. Now, friends, there's no way you can have the divine interpretation of the written word unless Christ is revealing it to you. Now, isn't that the evidence of a prophet?
he says. A seer in the Bible was a man that could foretell and be perfectly exactly, not somebody laid hands on him. That's a gift. A prophet is predestinated, born to be a prophet. All the whole life, it was a prophet. That's an office. Then again, let me just pause right here, and I am pulling over. Let me just pause right here. In your flesh, you have five senses. See, taste, feel, smell, hear, right? You can have the Holy Spirit anoint your flesh. And you'll know it because there'll be a sensation, right? You have five senses of your spirit, right? Memory, intelligence, conscience, affection, and reasoning. The Holy Spirit can anoint your spirit realm, and you will sense it by one of your five spiritual senses, by one or more, right? But in your soul, there's no sensation. In their soul, you either believe or you doubt.
Amen.
Right? When you're born again of the Spirit of God, you believe. And in your soul is where He reveals it to you. And you know it.
Yes.
Now, how do you explain that to somebody? It has to happen to you. But when you know that you know that you know, nobody can talk you out of it. But chances are, you'll have some sensations in your other two realms because of what's going on in that third realm. But there's no sensation in that third realm. You know. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally. The voice of the sign. He said, Jesus healed because it might fulfill the word. He did those things because the word of God would be fulfilled. That's what he's doing today for that the word might be fulfilled, that I've quoted to you night after night. Now notice, then, when his presence is near, it certainly brings emotion. Amen. Oh, wait a minute. Amen. I thought you said the baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation. He's talking about the baptism, but he's not talking about the Holy Spirit coming nigh unto you again and again and again. When his presence is near, it certainly brings emotion. As I spoke this morning, anything without emotion is dead. And any religion that hasn't got some emotion to it, you better bury it. It's dead. It brings emotion. He quickens us. But when we are quickened, let's remember what quickened us. What did it? It's the presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, in our midst, showing himself that he is alive. Not a corporal body. When that time, that corporal body returns from heaven, time shall be no more. He's saying he's here, but not in a corporal body. That's all of it. And we know that we're living in the last days when these things are to take place. Amen. I know I threw a lot out there tonight, but it's got to be dealt with, friends. Let's stand. We're not emphasizing emotion. We're not emphasizing gifts. We're not trying to point you one way or another. We're just telling you everything that's in the Word is ours. And if His presence is in your life, it's going to manifest. The only reason, Brother Merritt, that I know this is true is because he told me.
Amen.
It's because he revealed it to me. Right? It's not the Baptist church telling me that this is true. It's him.
Amen.
It started with Brother Branham saying that it was true.
Yeah.
It started with me seeing the manifestation of it. And thinking, I want whatever that is.
Amen.
Right? And then you die out, you follow the prescription, and then you get that. But you can't prove it to somebody else. And if somebody doesn't have it, they can't relate to what you're trying to describe to them. When I say, you know, well, since you've been born again, you know what I'm talking about. We can just use a few words and actually communicate something between us because we both had that experience.
Hallelujah.
But if you've never had that experience, you don't know what I'm talking about. You think you do. I could, if you were blind and I tried to describe to you colors, you could imagine, you could use your imagination, and you could imagine that you know what I'm talking about. But if you're blind, you don't know what I'm talking about. But once you saw it, you would know that you're seeing what I was talking about. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You love Him?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Father, we love You so much. Lord, we're so thankful and we're so grateful that You've led us into truth. And not just truth, but all the truth that, Lord, that You are revealing in this age and in this hour. And only You can reveal it to us, Lord. We do have to hear it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But then the teacher has to be within us. The teacher will reveal to us, Your Spirit will reveal to us what we've heard. And will also make it live. We can't make the Word live. We can't produce the Word. What we can do is only believe. Receive and only believe. And then, Lord, You bring the interpretation by bringing it to pass in our lives. Our part is to agree. Our part is to accept. Lord, we want all that You have for us. And we want everybody else to have it. And Lord, as even as we've spoke tonight about how so few will receive it, we haven't given up trying to tell. We haven't given up trying to share. We haven't given up trying to be quick to and be ready to give an account of the hope of glory that's within us. We're not hiding our light, Lord. We've learned in our walk that we don't have to throw out the whole restaurant, but to, just like a fisherman, to throw out a little bait and see what the fish does. If the fish shows no interest in the bait, we don't have to, there's no point in bringing the whole bait store out. If the fish isn't hungry, it's not going to bite. So we just go on. We don't know. It might not be the right time for that person. It might not be the right season. But we just go on. But on the other hand, if they bite on that, they begin to partake, well, then we're ready to give it an account of the hope of glory. They'll actually draw it out of us. We believe that, Lord. We believe that You're still saving, You're still delivering, You're still sanctifying, justifying, sanctifying, filling with the Holy Ghost, sealing. We believe, Lord, that You're still bringing in individuals. We don't know how many, but and it's not our we don't need to know how many. We just need to be what we are. And allow the light to shine. And Lord, to be sure that we're not hybridizing any of Your Word. And Lord, we can do that unintentionally. In fact, we have done that unintentionally. And You just gently come and You show us that we've accepted something that some church said or somebody said that Brother Branham said, but he didn't really say. And when we do see it, Lord, when You show us the reality of it, we feel a little bad that we didn't have the full truth on that, but Lord, You're not beating us up on it. We repent zealously and we receive that truth. And then we're just sure not to hide it. We're not going to hit people over the head with it, but we're not going to hide it either. We're going to allow that light to shine. And it'll produce what it was sent to do. Your Word will not return it to You void. But Lord, if Your presence is in our lives, You'll quicken that Word. And it'll manifest. It'll catch. Lord, if there's a life out there to catch, it'll catch. It'll catch. If there's a hunger and a thirst, and we're advertising the reality, the living realities of the living God, well, if there's a thirst for a living God, it'll catch that attention. Lord, we know that the hour is short. We don't know how much more time we have. But Lord, we want to We want to be everything that you've called us to be. We want that light to shine. We want, Lord, our loved ones to just see Jesus. Not religion, not us looking down our noses on somebody or condemning, but just letting that light shine. Letting them see Jesus. Letting them see the living Word in our lives. Lord, we just want to take your full Word. And Lord, we ask you to forgive us of any unbelief. And Lord, just continue to lead us into all truth, washing us by the water of the Word. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? Thank you, Lord, that you're still circumcising hearts, that you're still cutting away the excess, Lord, cutting away the carnality, cutting away the ways of man, cutting away things that would hinder us from walking in our full inheritance. We thank you for that, Lord. Now, Lord, we believe that you'll vindicate your word by bringing it to pass in our lives. And we know that that is the interpretation, is when you make it live. Bless each and every one now, Lord. Father, we give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I think we'll have to go down a note or two. Spirit.